All right, let's go. All right. Listen, I want to talk about my dear friend, and I mean dear friend, Ralph Malaby. We'll get the NHL over with, and then we'll talk about Ralph. So what do you would like to talk about today?
Well, Dad, I think the big thing this week was Evander Kane was signed by the Edmonton Oilers. So what do you think?
Well, I'm not saying anything new. He's a good hockey player. He got the first goal. But imagine if he had gone about 4 or 5 games without a goal. Mm-hmm. He minds his business. Off the ice, he'd be okay. But
so if he came to Boston when you were coaching the Bruins, would you
First of all, he wouldn't come to Boston, I don't think.
No, but he's kind of a power forward. In the last three years, he led the Sharks in goals, power play goals, and penalty minutes. So
and probably hits too. I mean, there's no question at all. He is a good hockey player. I mean, a really, 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 really good hockey player. It's just that it's stuff he does off the ice, and I'm not commenting on it. If you don't know it, then you should know it.
So if he was, let's say, he went to Boston, and would you say anything to him, or would a player come up and say something to him?
No, the players would say something to him. I wouldn't say that. What are you going to say? Keep your nose clean, that's the only thing a coach can say. Keep your nose clean, and you'll be all right. I would say that. I would say Wayne Cashman, Brad Park, and Bobby Schmotz would probably say, "Look, we got a good thing going here. You better not ruin it." And nobody did ruin it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you figure it only cost him $700,000, right?
Take a shot anyhow.
Yeah, and you got to figure Kane knows if he doesn't play well or he gets in trouble, this might be it.
And he got the first. And he got the first goal.
Got the first goal last night. Do you like? He's bond with Connor McDavid, but he's kind of tough to play with McDavid, isn't he?
McDavid does most of his. If you look at most of his goals, his great goals, I mean, he goes other goals and he sets it up. His great goals are he does it by himself. Right. I mean, he's like Bobby Orr.
Don't go offside.
I remember Bobby thought it was funny that one of the funny things I said was when Orr's got the puck, don't go offside, and I meant it. He thought it was a joke, and I don't want a 10 goal going offside when a 70 goal scorer's going in. Anyhow.
So it'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting. I hope Kane. I really do hope he seems like a pretty good guy.
Yeah, and so it'll be interesting to see, because that's one player they don't have. They don't have a big power forward that can bang and go. Yeah. And you know, because you got to admit, Edmonton outside of Cassian and those guys, they're kind of small. They play small.
Well, I don't know. I wish Kane good luck, and then he keeps his nose clean.
Yep. So, Dad, let's talk a little bit about Vancouver. Patrick Alvin was named the GM, and he was the assistant GM to Jimmy Rutherford in Pittsburgh. Yeah,
that only makes sense to me. You hire a guy that you know what he's going to do. You hire another guy. You get hire a guy from left field. He might say something in the interview you had with him and then go out and do his own thing. No, you hire a guy that, you know, that's Jimmy Rutherford. He knows what's going on.
Yeah. And then you and I had talked about that Spencer Martin got his first win against the Jets.
And played great the other two games that he had, too.
Right. So he had three games against Florida, Edmonton, and Winnipeg.
Not bad.
And out of the 6 points, they got 4. And he had a goals against average less than 2. And then last night, this is Sunday morning, they're playing Vancouver, and they put Demko in.
That's all right. That's a show that he's got a lot of confidence in Demko, and Demko has brought them so far. But I at the training camp next year, it should be interesting.
Yeah. You wonder, like we were talking about this morning, you wonder if Edmonton doesn't take a shot with him. Because as we talked about, he could be another Jordan Binnington. and Edmonton say, "What do you want? What do you want for your goalie?"
Yeah,
and see how it goes. Though Koskinen's playing pretty good for Edmonton. Well, if now.
They ever get a sharp goalie, look out, Edmonton. They looked pretty confident last night.
Yeah, that's for sure. The one funny thing, Dad, we were talking about that I learned over the week was. Was watching a telecast with the Washington Capitals, and the person between the bench, she said that Alexander Ovechkin has Coca-Cola in his water bottle.
You know, what's funny thing is, you told me that before, and I got thinking about it, and I remember Joe Crozier wouldn't let us have any water or nothing. And back then, the Russians were the thing. They knew everything. Oh, I guess they do now, too. And so he let us have some water. And then some of the guys drank Coke, you know, on the QT. Next thing you know, Jimmy McKinney, who was the wild one on the club, he's drinking orange pop.
So was that in Rochester? So that would have been in the 60s. But
yeah.
But before then, like when you were in Springfield and stuff, you would no water?
No water at all. And I used to cheat all the time. Used to on the skates, you know, on the blades, you take it off. And, I mean, these guys used to be dying. Used to play with 40 defensemen, and then I noticed that there was cold water in the ice bags. And what did they do after? I told the guys, you know, don't drink it all. They put hot stuff. I swear to God, they put hot stuff in there so we wouldn't drink it. And that's how stupid we were. So the Russians. We're way ahead of us on that one. I mean, absolutely ridiculous. But we were brought up, don't drink any water at all.
Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Spreads.ca. They're a Canadian-owned online casino and sportsbook. And if you
very important, Canadian-owned.
That's
very
right.
Key.
Yeah, because you see a lot of those ones, they're all advertised now. Like it's just
you see them on television.
Right, and if they're .net or .org, they're usually not Canadian, and they're usually offshore. So, but Spreads.ca, they're Canadian-owned, and they're an online casino and sportsbook. If you sign up now and use the promo Grapes, they'll spot your deposit up to $500. You get 10 spins on the big wheel for some big dough, and they'll spot you $25 on your first bet. And I know that they're really busy with the football, and the rumor going around is Tom Brady's retiring, and Dad, I was reading that a person close to him said that he was thinking about retiring at the beginning of the year, but he didn't want to mention it because he didn't want to have a farewell season.
I know what he means. He didn't want, you know, I got to tell you a story. When they tell me at the start of the year for a long, long time, I forget how many years in a row they told me this is your last year.
Yeah, well, Nancy Lee said it once to
Nancy
you,
Lee
and Scott Moore.
Scott Moore, yeah, Scott Moore. Yeah, bad. Scott Moore not like me. Like me at the end, though. But anyhow, they said, Don, we want to go to every city. And we go in and say, this is Don Cherry's Hockey Night in Canada, last game. And, you know, everybody give a cheer and, you know, as if they care. Mm-hmm. And anyhow, I said, no way. When I go out, I'll go out with a bang.
And you did.
I guess I did.
And you did. Yeah, and boy, those football games last week, they're something.
Oh, that weekend. The two games in a row.
Yeah.
I don't care where you go, you'll never see. I don't like it being won on a kick, though. Somehow or other, it's got to be better. There's got to be a better way than flip a coin and
if you go down and score, then the game's over.
Yeah, the game's over. And the other team doesn't even have a chance.
No, so like that, and I follow football, I follow the CFL, and I follow the NFL, but I've never understood the logic behind that.
No.
And I tried to look on the internet, what is the logic behind that?
Yeah.
And I can't find it, because you know if Buffalo won that toss, Allen would have got them down to kick a field goal, and they would have won. So basically, it was a coin toss to see who won the game.
Yeah, like it's a coin, like absolutely. And you know what? I have to disagree with you, Tim. I look at the games, and if they're close, I hope they tie it up so they'll have the overtime, because that is the most exciting. And then the second is the shootout.
Yeah, in hockey. Yeah, the 3-on-3 is really good. You know what? Jason Spezza mentioned it the other day, that talking on the shootout, he says he thinks it's gone a little bit stale. He says he thinks the excitement's gone, and he thinks the 3-on-3 would be better.
Oh, 3-on-3. I've done
it. I do. I think they should get rid of the shootout. They should just go 3-on-3.
Well, you can't go. See, the reason that they do that is because of the schedules and all stuff. Yeah. They could go forever.
So, Dad, next week we'll talk about Team Canada got mentioned. And
Eric. Yes, I want to mention all those guys. I don't like to interrupt him. I want to mention all those guys because they could get hurt and their season could be over, and they give just as much as the guys in the National Hockey League.
Right. So we'll talk a little bit more of them next week. Eric Staal. You know, the one thing story, though, I want to talk just quickly about Eric Staal. Remember that we went up to see him in Peterborough?
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was there was a tournament up in Peterborough. This is when they were 15 years old. And I remember you were really sick. And they were, the ladies in the concession stands were bringing you soup. You remember
yeah.
that?
No.
And so we were there, and Eric was, I think this was to get into the finals, and Eric was 15, playing for Thunder Bay. And he got the puck and went overtime, and he was in his own end, and he fired it around the net to clear it. Like he shot it behind his net, but really hard to clear the puck, and it hit the stanchion. And it came straight out, hit their goalie in the back of the head, and rolled into the net, and they lost. And you were sitting with Bobby Orr, who represented Eric at the time, and he was so upset, so embarrassed, he wouldn't...
Yeah, I remember him down there. He wouldn't come up, and Bobby had to send a guy down and say, get up here, and don't worry about it. Give him the old, don't worry about it. All stuff. It's easy for him to say.
Oh, he was almost in tears. I don't think he said two words.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say the best for last, I guess, that's the way we caught it, was Ralph Mellenby, who was my dear friend, who I would not have lasted a month if he hadn't said, I remember them wanting to get rid of me after a month. That's the CBC. And it says, if he goes, I go. Well, they're not going to let a 5 Emmy go. He was around to protect me.
Right. So Ralph Mellenby, he was the guy that hired you for Hockey Night in Canada. Ralph won 6 or 7 Emmys, I think, and he really was
five, yeah. And got Achievement Award, Windsor Hall of Fame, the whole deal.
Yeah, and he really was a visionary. He developed slow motion replay, and he was one of the most influential guys in sports television history, not just Canada but all over. And you know, he did a lot of things, Dad, with Coach's Corner when you were on. You started with 2 cameras. And it didn't work, right?
No, we had a floor director. We'd point one camera, and I'd be starting that camera. And when you see a guy's side of a guy's head, you know that he doesn't know what's going on. And I said, okay, let's have one camera. I would really love it, Ralph. He said, okay. And yeah. I thought I was going to have a hard time because that was not a big deal now, but it was a big deal back then.
Well, you don't see that now either. We got to tell the story of how you first... one of the first meetings you had with Ralph.
Oh, yeah.
So
you set it up.
Okay, I'll set it up. So it's 1979, and it's game 4 against Montreal and Boston. And Stan Jonathan and Pierre Bouchard get into a big fight.
It was
an unbelievable fight.
There's more blood.
How did you have Stan Jonathan?
No, I tell you how that started. It was that he had, for some reason, Scotty Bowman, probably the greatest coach of all time. He started all his tough guys. Don't ask me why.
Like Bouchard, Lupien, Robinson.
I don't know why. I looked out and I said, what is this guy, nuts?
Yeah.
And I guess he just wanted to prove that they were as tough as us. So I pulled off, I already had on Wensink and John Wensink and Terry O'Reilly. That's all I needed. I pulled off of Peter McNabb, and I remember Peter McNabb saying, the happiest moment of his life is when he saw Stan Jonathan come out to take a spot. Well, it was a dandy.
So then what happened? So it was a pretty bloody fight. Like if you Google it, like John D'Amico, the linesman, got cut with a stick, and the blood was just pouring out of Boucher.
Yeah, and John Wensink was going at it with Lupien.
Jules Lupien. Yeah. So what happened was, I remember watching it at home on TV 38, WSBK in Boston. That was the TV station. And during the season, they used to show replays of fights. But during the playoffs, Ralph Mellenby and Hockey Night in Canada controlled the broadcast. And Ralph never showed replays of fights.
Well, I remember reading it. at the time, it was a child psychologist. It was bad for children or something.
It's told him not to do it. So, but we didn't know that. And what happened was, I remember Fred Cusick and Johnny Pearson of the Bruins said,
that was a big deal in Boston.
Saying, I can't believe they're not showing the fight. And then all the fans in the newspaper on the radio were saying the reason they didn't show it was because the Boston Bruin beat up a Montreal Canadian and Ralph Malaby and Hockey Night in Canada and the NHL's biased. And it really blew up. Like, it was a big, big thing. And then the next game was in Montreal. And tell us what happened.
Well, what happened was a Boston Bruin got cut, and it wasn't a good fight for us. So I know this sounds ridiculous, and no matter what, I left the bench and run down.
During the game.
During the game. The game's on, and I run down and go in the studio. It was just around the corner, by the way. It wasn't like a long ways away. And there was Ralph sitting there watching the game. I said, I suppose you're going to show that one, eh? You're going to show that fight, eh? You won't show the other one. He said, Don, we don't. Well, first of all, he said, what are you doing in here? He says, isn't the game going on? And I said, never mind what the game's going on. Are you going to show that fight? He said, it's our policy. We never show any fights. And I didn't know what to say then. So that's how, first introduction to Ralph Malaby.
Yeah. And he said, I knew Don would be good on television when that happened. That's what he said. So well, then, so let's say we'll jump to 1980, and he invites you to do on air. Or did you do Coach's Corner first? Or
I was on with Dan Kelly, one of the greatest announcers of all time, and he said, Don, tell us about the first period. I said, I would, Dan, but somebody keeps talking in my ear all the time.
Yeah, you had that speaker.
Yeah, commercial every time I started. So then I said, do I have to wear one of those jackets? He says, remember in blue, they had blue jackets.
Yeah, Hockey Night in Canada, those baby blues.
No, he says, no, wear the jackets you want.
I think he gave you two pieces of advice. And I think the biggest one was you went on and you said, I think the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to make the playoffs.
And he came in after and I couldn't believe it. You don't think. You don't think. You know. Oh, I said, how do I know if they're going to make the play? Don't matter. He said, you're coach of the year in the National Hockey League, and you coach Bobby Orr. You should know. You don't. That's why I hire. From then on, I know.
Yeah. He says, I don't want you to think. And then I think the other thing that you said was maybe the biggest advice he gave you was after he left to go to the Olympics.
Yeah, he come in one time and he was talking. He says, look, he says, what I want you to do is not turn professional. And and if you saw me, I never was professional.
Yeah. Well, I think what he meant there was see some guys that are good at the beginning and, you know, 2 years later, they're just a little bit too slick. They try to be funny.
Yeah, and they try to be funny. You know, they tried to fire me about four or five times during the same, and he gave them the same word all the time. I hope he did at the end. Mm. He says, if he goes, I go. So he's the guy that kept me on.
But what did he say about, you remember what he said about the languages?
Oh, yeah. He says, he says, Canada is a nation of two languages. He says, Cherry speaks neither one. I didn't understand that one. So Al Stewart, I went to Al Stewart, and we did something. I thought it was terrible. It was all political.
Yeah, Al Stewart was a producer, and Ralph got him to call you.
And I thought it was terrible, and he gave the word coach's corner. And but I have to tell you about the time at Sapinier at Quebec. I think that's how you pronounce it. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. So we used to have a seminar, I guess.
Like a conference in the summer.
And we used to fly everybody in. Boy, it used to cost a lot of money. So they flew everybody in. We're at the top of the building, and everybody's having a few drinks and that. And he sat in a corner, and he talked to everybody that was there. There had to be about 25 people there he had to talk to. So, you know, he never talked to me. So I went over, and I said, gee, Ralph, I said, you talked to everybody else. I said, what do you want me to do? This is, just keep doing what you're doing.
Well, I remember the one time it was in the playoffs, and I think it was the Islanders and the Flyers were playing, and there was a producer Don Wallace came up and started giving you heck that you were
It was at a breakfast. It was at a breakfast. And John Shannon was there and Hodge was there, and he kept giving me, and Don Wallace says, "I'm really worried about the way you say Gillies and Holmgren." I said, "Well, I say it like the players." "Well, it doesn't matter. You're supposed to be in." You know, it was over. I said,
like he really gave you hell. Said you have to pronounce. He gave you. I remember you said he gave you a list of the players and how to phonetically how to pronounce their names.
Yeah. So I phoned Jerry Patterson, who was my partner, great guy Jerry Patterson, and he phoned Ralph. Ralph says, "I pronounce the names the way you like. That's half the fun."
Yeah. Well, Ralph really was big into. He wanted the stuff to be entertaining. And, you know, Brian McFarlane had Peter Puck, and he brought Peter Puck on. He had Showdown. If you don't know what Showdown is, you can Google that. But that was kind of like a skills competition that Ralph shot during the summer. And I tell you, people tuned in between.
I did it.
Yeah, you did that too. And he was, as they say, he really enjoyed it. And then he was instrumental, and he was the guy that came up with the Grapevine Show.
Yeah, he was. And remember, we had the meeting, and we had Jimmy Loftus, and I forget.
Bill Lynn,
yeah. And I remember we were around, and they said, "What do you think? What do you think?" And I said, "What do I think?" And they come to me, "What do I think?" I said, "I think I'll have another Molson's."
Yeah, well, you had a lot of faith in your dad that you could do an interview show. And what he
I have to tell you a story. Let me tell you a story. Very first show we did, we had an audience too, a live audience.
A live audience. Again, way ahead of its time, and it's never been duplicated.
Yeah, no, and I guess there's so many shows on now. But anyhow, I could not say, I remember the words, "Here's Gordie Howe, Mr. Al Bowles, he's on the show tonight," or something to that effect. And I could not say it. And the crowd laugh. And when the crowd would laugh, I'd get more nervous. I said, "I can't say this, Ralph." And he held my hand. He actually held my hand. "Okay, this is all you say." And
he told you to look at the picture.
I looked over and he says, "All right, just don't say it to us. Just say it to Blue."
Yeah, yeah. We had a big picture of Blue.
We had a big picture of Blue. And I turned and I said, and it was from then on, and Ralph again came through again. I was okay.
So, you know, he had two kids, Laura Mellenby, who became a very successful executive producer of sports. She worked for ESPN over in Asia for a long time. And then, of course, Scott Mellenby, who played for the Flyers.
GM. He was GM of the Montreal Canadiens
this year, or assistant GM. And I remember...
And Jillian, his wife now.
Yeah. And Scott was played for the Don Mills Flyers, and he was around 16 years old, so he was going to play midget or he was going to go somewhere to play where it was a higher level. I don't think he went to play junior. I think he went and played the States. And Ralph asked you to come over to talk to Scott. So you thought you were going to come over to give him a pep talk. Even though Ralph didn't like fighting, he says, "I want you to show Scott defend himself."
I forget what he said, but I know one thing. All I did was tell him how to grab the arm. If he's a right-hander, grab the arm. There was very few left-handers back in those days. He didn't believe in fighting, but he believed in defending yourself.
Defending yourself. And, you know, with Ralph, too, I mean, I worked with him a couple of times on the Olympics. I was there in the first one was 1988 in Calgary, and everybody really liked Ralph. Like he was never mean, and he was always had time for everybody. And I remember I was working on the bobsled and luge, and his big thing was, he goes, "I want to hear the sport." He says, "We don't hear the sports enough." And he remembered talking to the directors and producer. He says, "I want to hear the bobsled and the luge come down. I want to hear the blades on the ice going down." And he did that with hockey. Remember, he wanted to hear the hockey. And then he got caught one time, though.
Wait, Bobby Clark. I saw that game. Bobby Clark was yelling at a player.
Yeah.
You could hear him as plain as day. Yeah. That was the end of that for that experiment.
He was a great guy, and everybody in TV sports has nothing but great things to say about him.
You know, he won 5 Emmys, believe that or not, down the States. They had him down the States. You went down the States there once with him.
Well, yeah, I worked in the Atlanta Olympics. And again, I remember him coming, and he got all the Canadians to work on field hockey. Yeah. We were all from Buffalo and Toronto. He said, I don't know much about field hockey, but he says, but he said, you guys, you got to treat it like it's game seven because somebody's watching it. And yeah.
Well, I just want to say he's gone now, and I'm sure you're going to miss him. Anything that I have now, I don't have much. I owe to Ralph Mallaby because he's the guy that kept me on Hockey Night in Canada. And it wasn't for him, I'd be long gone.